Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Kevin Stefanski's press conference is coming up at 1 o'clock, and we will hear it right here on The Fan. I'm Jeff Phelps. My partner is Andy Baskin. Dan Menigan's behind the glass. Mackenzie Flume taking your phone calls, 216-474-0092. And lining up, Scott Petrak for us, our buddy who covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. Scott, welcome to our show.
Hey, Scotty.
How you doing, guys?
How are you?
We couldn't be better. Thank you very much. Things are so touchy in Berea that guys get mad over legit questions, Scott.
I didn't notice.
I was sitting next to you. I was going to send you a glare at that point, trying to figure out exactly what just happened. I was like, oh, man.
What did you think of the aggressiveness that Kevin Stefanski showed in going for it on fourth down a couple of times, Scott? I got to be honest. First time around, you take the 3 points. Second time around, you punt the ball away. It was a two-point game.
Yeah, I didn't have a big issue with the first time that they went for it, Jeff. I get, you know, he kicked the field goal there and take the points. But, you know, they'd been moving the ball pretty good on the ground. I was fine with that. It felt like a decision Kevin Stefanski makes more times than not. The second one was weird just given the place on the field right there. It's still a close game. It's 10-8, I think, at the time.
It was.
They're backed up on their 32 or 33. You know, he talked after the game about putting the defense in short fields, and a lot of it was due to special teams, but that was one from the offense and his decision. So I think I would have punted there. You know, I get the philosophy of, hey, they're an underdog and they need to make some things happen there, and they need to sustain drives. But, you know, and obviously it's so easy to say now, but I think the right move there is to punt and give your defense a whole field to defend. And I think that, I know it changes the course of the game. It changes the momentum. All of a sudden you're down two scores instead of one score. And that just changes everything from a play calling perspective, from a what the Niners can do perspective. So, you know, if you run the quarterback sneak and it's only inches and you get it, you know, nobody's thinking twice about it. And we've seen that happen from him and from other teams plenty of times where they go for it on fourth down, backed up. But when it doesn't work, it looks awful bad. And that one didn't work.
Scott, I want to just kind of go back to what Jeff said in the beginning. And so when you asked him yesterday, did you like the fact that he was aggressive? I was kind of taken aback that he didn't. Did the question just not, did it get lost in translation there or something? Because he got defensive, and I'm like, wait, why is he getting defensive when he just asked you, did you like the offensive play?
A very legit question.
I just want to give you a chance to explain what happened.
Yeah, obviously we're talking about Shadur.
Yeah, Shadur, sorry.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to him after that because then Miles Garrett came in right away, and I wanted to stick with Miles, so I didn't get to ask Shadur what happened there. My guess is that he didn't either hear the question right or understand what I was getting at, because he winds up giving the answer that I expected, Right.
He did, actually. He did. Yeah. I said that at the time. I said, well, that's all that Scott asked him right there.
Yeah, I was just trying to get to the point of those are two huge plays in the game, right? The fourth and ones I thought were huge plays in the game. I wanted the quarterback's perspective on those plays and what he thought of them. And I wasn't going to ask him if he thought it was a bad call because that does put him in a rough spot.
Right.
So it was, do you like the aggression of the coach there? And I figured he would because he's a quarterback and they all would like that. But I wanted to hear him say it, and he did say it. It just took him saying it was a rude question to get there.
Hmm. It's funny to play off that one more time. Way years ago, I asked Lenny Wilkins a question, and he said about like what happened in the third quarter, blah, 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 blah. And he said, well, you saw it. And I said, but Lenny, it doesn't do me any good to have, you know, for me to say it. We'd like to hear what you had to say. And then he said it. And I think sometimes people don't understand that that's what you're looking for is the explanation from the people involved. Because that's what they're the guys who were involved.
Yeah, that's a good point. Again, I just thought those were two huge plays, and obviously they were. That's what we're talking first about in this conversation, and I wanted to get the quarterback's take on them.
Yep, and you should have. I threw this out earlier, Scott. I don't think the coaching has been good on the offensive side of the ball, and I don't think, you know, it just hasn't worked. And the special teams has certainly not been good. But I don't think, I put it this way, I don't think the coaching has been able to overcome what's not a good roster on the offensive side of the ball.
I think that's a good way to put it, Jeff. And this is such a difficult team to, I don't know, evaluate. You know, when we talk about the expectations and the games they gave away, right? They could have won that Minnesota game. They should have won the Bengals opener. They should have beaten the Jets except for those two kick returns. Where all of a sudden you talk about, hey, maybe this team should be at least in the conversation inside a weak AFC North, right? A down season for the AFC North. A couple more wins and you're right there because nobody's running away with this division. However, you look at the overall roster and you're like, oh, man, they don't have a lot of pieces on offense and they're on their third quarterback and they haven't gotten great play from any of the quarterbacks. So are they really any better than 3-9? And like, is the roster a 3-9 roster? I kind of think it is. But that doesn't mean you can't exceed what your roster is, right? Like, you can find ways to win some of these games. And I think that's what's frustrating, certainly Kevin Stefanski and the organization, but the fans too, because you watch and go, well, that was a winnable game. And the reason you're losing them is, you know, missed kicks in the opener. And then it's kick returns for the Jets. And then yesterday it's, again, poor special teams play, and then you add on a couple missed opportunities on offense. We talked about the fourth and one. There was a drive in the second quarter where Jerry Jeudy gets the illegal shift penalty, and then Shadur takes a sack, and you're out of field goal range. Okay, well, there's a couple points off the board, or 3 points off the board, perhaps. And then he misses Jerry Jeudy on the first series, right? And there's a chance for at least a first down if he hits him early. And then late, if he hits him on that deep throw, it could be a touchdown. So they had these missed opportunities, and the whole time the defense is playing great and giving them a chance to win and keeping them in games. And that's why I think it's kind of get hard to get your head wrapped around it completely, because I don't think this roster is that good on offense at all. Yet we can look at it and say, man, they still should have won more games.
A lot of people would like to see Bubba Ventrone looking for another job today, especially if you listen to the station all morning, too. I don't know that it does them any good to release a coach today, but special teams this morning and for the entire season has taken some serious heat. Is it fair to blame the head – is it fair to blame the defensive coordinator or the special teams coordinator? I went through all three sides of the ball there.
Right.
Yes, good job, Andy.
I got there.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah, I think it's fair. I mean, it's like anything, right? The guy on top is responsible. And whether or not he's the one running by the play or getting out of his lane or not getting off his block, it still falls on the special teams coordinator. Like, it still falls on Kevin Stefanski when they lose games, whether or not it should fall on him or whether or not it is his fault, right? It's just the way it works. And if the mistakes continue to happen, it's harder and harder not to say, yeah, Bubba Ventrone is to blame or is responsible. So we talked about it after that Jets game. Like, I think Bubba Ventrone is a good coach, and I think he'd get another job if he got fired. And I've watched him coach up you know, up close, hands on. He's passionate. The guys like him. It hasn't translated. And part of that is because there's so many young guys playing on special teams. And I, you know, if you rewatch that Sky Moore punt return in the first quarter, like Donovan McMillan just gets out of his lane. Like he sees Moore take a step to his left and he jumps and then he goes right past him. Like, so if he stays in his lane and makes a tackle, then we're not having this discussion and it's a rookie and it turns into a 66 yarder. It also felt like Grant Delpit ran too far now and ran by the play. Now he's not a rookie and it feels like I've seen that before from Grant on these long punt returns. So, you know, then you have Gage Larvedan, another undrafted rookie out there. So is McMillan. And he muffs three punts. He fumbles one, muffs two, and the 49ers finally recover one, and that turns into a touchdown. So, you know, Bubba has limitations because of the roster he's working with, but you'd expect to see better, and you'd expect to see some of these recurring issues cleaned up by, you know, game 12.
Scott Petrak joining us, Chronicle Telegram, covers the Browns, brownzone.com, where you can read all of Scott's work. I think at this point, Shedeur Sanders is intriguing enough that I think we should all want to see more of him. And the idea of him starting against Tennessee, fine. That I think that's the thing to do right now and start him moving forward more. However,
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sack Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think he's been significantly better, worse, or similar to Dylan Gabriel?
I think he's been a little bit better than Gabriel. I think his upside is higher than Gabriel's, and I've always believed that. I believe that before the draft. I believed it during the offseason, during training camp. That opinion hasn't changed, and I think it's been shown in these couple of starts that he's had. Obviously, it's way too early to make any kind of judgment, way too early to think about, okay, could Shedeur be the guy next year, or do you draft a guy? Like, we haven't seen nearly enough. But I do see flashes. You know, I like the fact that he pushes the ball down the field. And he's an accurate quarterback. He always has been. Yesterday, I thought he reverted a little bit to the drifting backward, and he took a couple of big sacks. I mentioned that one in the first half that might have taken them out of field goal range. He had guys in the flat. He could have gotten the ball out of his hands and given him a chance to kick the field goal. Instead, he drifted and took a 13-yard sack. So there's things he needs to work on. I think he needs to be a little quicker in just everything, the decision-making, the movements. And I think he's gotten faster than he was in training camp, because I felt that at the time, like, he always felt like a beat slow to me. I think he sped it up, but I think he needs to speed it up more, and that just comes with more playing time. He certainly deserves to start again, and, you know, I think something disastrous would have to happen for him not to start the rest of the games. It just makes too much sense to me. And then we'll get a better evaluation. But again, he's not working with the best tools around him, right? The offensive line continues to be a work in progress. We haven't seen the receivers make a bunch of plays for him. So it's tough to get an evaluation of anybody, but I would think he gets the rest of these starts, and then at least it's a fuller evaluation.
What did you think of the crowd yesterday? It's going to be a tough sell to have anybody in that stadium down the stretch here for these final few home games.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. Maybe I shouldn't have been, that there were so many empty seats. I mean, I get the weather was awful, but I thought, okay, there's a Shadur excitement, his first home start.
Yes.
The holiday weekend, there's people in town, but I get that it was 20 degrees and, raining and snowing, so, and crazy windy. So I'm not sure I would have been there either. But I did think there'd be more fans, but I think that speaks to where the people are with this team right now. And there's not a lot of optimism that I'm hearing about where this organization is and where it's going.
Scott, last thought. You had Tevin Jenkins alternating with Wyatt Teller at right guard yesterday. What do you think was going on there? And where does this offensive line stand in your mind? I mentioned earlier, I like all the individual pieces, but injuries, age, and it just hasn't worked as well as we would think it would anyway.
No, it certainly hasn't, and that's been a piece of why the offense hasn't been what they would hope. I thought Teller might be a guy moving forward, that he was the stability piece from this year to next year. I talked about that with him a month ago, and it doesn't feel like that anymore. I think it was a straight quality of play demotion. That's how he made it sound after the game, that they just weren't, the coaches weren't pleased with how he'd been playing. They wanted to see Jenkins. It certainly felt weird seeing him get demoted, especially on, he's making his 100th start. He's been a mainstay at that position. So it was weird. I get it. If they don't think he's playing well enough, then that's certainly the coach's prerogative. But it just, the timing of it felt weird. The player, involved felt weird. I'm not some offensive line guru. I know he's given up sacks this year, and they must have said, determined that, he's not playing well enough, and he's probably not part of the future. And when you look at it, I don't know who is. Joe Bitonio, I think, is going to retire. Jack Conklin's either going to be retired or gone. Maybe Ethan Posick comes back and is the one, kind of that link piece from this year to next year. But he might be the only one. They might be looking at five new linemen next year, which is almost unheard of.
Scott, thank you, buddy. We appreciate your time as always. Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Kevin Stefanski's press conference. Coming up at noon, our buddy Tyvus Powell from the Browns Radio Network will join us here.
You can listen to The Fan anytime, anywhere on the free Odyssey app or by telling your smart speaker to play 92.3 The Fan. You don't even have to yell it the way I did. You can just say, hey, smart speaker, play 92.3 The Fan. And now you can find 92.3 The Fan on YouTube, including The Ken Carman Show with Anthony Lima from 6 to 10 a.m. and Afternoon Drive with Nick Wilson and Jonathan Peterlin from 2 to 7 p.m. live each and every weekday on the 92.3 The Fan YouTube channel. Subscribe to our channel for free and watch all of the best content from your favorite shows on The Fan, live and on demand. You can do that now. Plus, don't forget, yesterday, Daryl Ryder and I did our Brownie Bite, so that's also available right there on our YouTube channel. It's the directly after the game edition of Brownie Bites. After you're done listening to Jeff and Tyvus, we're more than excited that you were listening to hear what we had to say about the game as well. So nice job to you, Jeff and Tyvus.
Oh, and to you, Andy.
Yes.
And to Daryl.
And to Titus, too.
Yeah, everybody. The offensive line has been a unit that went from, I think, a real strength of this team, Andy, a couple of years ago, to a unit right now that I think has everybody kind of scratching their head. And I wonder what happens to it in the offseason. And I probably shouldn't look ahead, but I am not. Well, I kind of am on this.
Everybody does.
Joel Bitonio and Wyatt Teller, according to Spotrac, have good contract information, both free agents at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Ethan Posick, also a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And Tevin Jenkins, who was out there yesterday, free agent at the end of the year.
They seemed a little excited about him. They played him. So.
Well, they played him. I don't know if that translates to excitement. You think it does?
I like Wyatt Teller, so I can't.
It's well, I like Wyatt, too, and I think he's a good football player. See, I honestly think individually all these guys have been good football players.
Mm-hmm.
I think they – and I don't break down offensive line play. That's not what I do. But as a unit, it just hasn't worked this year. Injury is a big part of the reason. I mean, it's been rough. And I feel for the guys getting beat up and having, you know, problems with their health and everything else. And Jack Conklin's a tremendous right tackle when he's healthy. And he hasn't been real healthy in a long time. Still a young guy. You know, you wonder, boy, are you gonna want to come back? He's under contract for a couple of more years.
Yeah.
You wonder if he wants to even come back. DeJuan Jones under contract for next year. So your tackles are under contract.
Yeah.
The interior of that offensive line is not.
Wouldn't it be great if they had the wherewithal to be able to use both first-round draft picks on offensive linemen or at least one of them on an offensive lineman next year? But you still got to get it right. That's the problem. You got to get it right. You got to find somebody that can actually block.
You draft Tristan Wirfs and not Jedrick Wills?
Yeah, that seems to be a theme around here, doesn't it?
I just wonder. I would assume that there are going to be changes on the offensive line, and whether the guys want there to be changes or not, that's just kind of the way it works. The other thing that's weird to me, always about offensive lines, you'll see a guy, falls out of favor somewhere, goes someplace else and starts.
Yeah.
You know, it happens all the time. I could see that happening here.
Or a team has an extra offensive lineman and they're looking for a draft pick. Although I don't know how you can ever have an extra offensive lineman, but they have an extra one. They're looking for a draft pick. You need one. All of a sudden, you're picking up a guy that they picked up in the fifth or sixth round, and then they come in and they're like a 3-4 year starter for you. I can appreciate that.
You know, I've mentioned more than a few times how much offensive linemen will tell you, run block, run block, run block. Don't abandon the run. Yesterday, they went a good portion of the way down the field on 9 straight runs and then set up a pass play. Shadur hit Harold Fannin for a touchdown.
It was a nice drive. And 90 yards.
It was running. It was running.
I remember going, oh, man, they got to go 90 yards. This is going to be a tough one. And then they did. I think that's where you see the potential, and that's why you're not totally down.
Yeah,
and then they scored on the conversion, too. Luckily, they got too many men on the field, so they were able to move the ball up to the, 1 yard line? Half the distance?
Yeah.
So
we'll see. You bring in Cam Robinson just because you need to bring in a body.
Yeah.
You know, he's a free agent at the end of the year. We'll see where it goes. Touchdown Tony is in Atlanta, Georgia. Touchdown Tony.
Tone, what's up, man?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you.
Hey, I think that San Francisco game, to me, showed a lot because you were going against, to me, a Super Bowl contender anyway. I saw a lot of good things that happened in that game. I just think the execution was just so bad on the down plays. You can't even handle the ball. Why would you go for it when that's your execution? You know what your players can and can't do. And this is how these players have been coached. And that's just so unacceptable, so unacceptable. And I just think they just need to be coached up. That's what I see. Let me hear you guys.
The only thing about the fumble was, one, you didn't use a guy you normally use. They had two different offensive linemen. And that play was set for disaster right away. They should have called timeout, rethought it, and then punted. You're right. Jeff has worn on me today. When I walked in here this morning, I was like, who cares, man? They're a 3-win team. Go for it. I know the ball's deep and in your own territory, but who cares? And then Jeff's like, you should be caring. And I'm like, and the more I start thinking about that play, Jeff's right. Oh, it pains me. I need therapy just for the fact that Jeff was right on this call. And so are you, Touchdown. I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm there now.
Yeah, okay. Points was a premium. So 3 points was big then, I thought. So,
Tony, I agree. That's why I would have taken the points in the first quarter when they went for it on 4th and 1.
Yeah.
This team scores under 17 points a game, man.
Yeah, you're right. You can't leave points
on the board. You get a chance for three,
you
put it through the uprights. And
unless he was concerned about the wind, although
Schmidt's
he didn't bring
done a nice job.
He has. He's turned things around.
He's done a nice job. And
still, if he kicks a game winner early in the year, you're in the hunt.
Well, I also think you play to your strengths. And in the third quarter, from their own 33, the Browns didn't play to their strength. Their strength is their defense. So punt the ball away, let the defense slow down San Francisco, and then get the ball back with better field position and go score and take the lead. And instead, you just basically handed, in theory, you handed them at the very least a 49-yard field goal try. You know, if the defense stopped them every play, that's a 49-yard field goal try. As it was, the defense in 9 plays gave up the 32 yards and the touchdown, and Malik Collins got hurt and everything else, and it wasn't good.
Jeff, you can't go 3-for-11 on third down either and expect to win. I mean, there's just a lot of little things here. That's all these things keep going through my mind. I keep replaying that game because I just felt like they weren't ready yesterday. They did not look like a team prepared to take a victory at home against a team that I thought they should have been, would have been competitive against. Yeah, they're 9-4.
I can't argue. I can't. I'd like to argue with you on that, and I can't.
It's one of those days. I think you're right, and you can't argue with me. We're done. Let's just drop the mic. Let's go on home. Yes.
You know, I'd like to, but okay. If you have a fourth down play that you like enough that you're going to go for it from your own 33, well, by God, you better have rehearsed that. Like, you know, all week long in
with
practice.
All of your regular players in your spots.
Yeah.
Right?
And the fact that they went for that just made me think, what are you guys doing out there? That didn't make any sense. I don't know if we can properly answer this. And again, some of it goes back to talent. Some of it goes back to just getting a couple of games. Has Tommy Rees made any impression on you as a play caller?
I don't know. I always seem to go back and look when the game is over, what the differential was between runs and passes. So yesterday, they passed the ball 26 times. They ran the ball 31. All within the same kind of a margin, right? It doesn't seem like it's not overwhelmingly one way or another. What last week, I think it was they throw the ball 5 more times. Then they ran the ball.
It's been fairly balanced.
And then his first two games, there was a one-play differential. In the first game, it was exactly like right down the middle, 23 apiece. So I don't know. You know, when you're aggressive on fourth and one, is that your guy calling plays or the decision to go for it? That's all on the coach. That's on the head coach. That's not on the offensive coordinator. Offensive coordinators aren't saying, let's go for it on fourth and one. They're saying, this is the play I believe will get us the one. Right? Isn't that how it works?
I would think so.
I would think so,
but
too.
You know, if you're going to go for it on the 33, you better have it nailed.
And it better be something you ran. Miles was asked yesterday after the game if he was surprised by anything. I think Jeff Shadell asked him that question. Were you surprised by anything? He was like, no. I mean, so they knew what was coming. But for Miles, I would expect that. You have so many young guys on this team that just don't, that, you know, they never played San Francisco before. They don't know what they're getting themselves into. I'm sure they watch film throughout the week. But when you take a day off on Thanksgiving week, and they were coming off, I mean, I guess it was equal because San Francisco was coming off a short week too, but I don't know, man. They just didn't seem ready yesterday. They didn't seem prepared for what was coming to them. And I know you can say next man up, but if that next man up hasn't been a part of the play or didn't, you know, rehearse it, I guess, throughout the week, why would you expect anything but mistakes to happen? I just don't think you can. You may have a 1,000% confidence in a play when you run it with the same guys all week at practice, and then all of a sudden on game day, you're like, ah, let's just fix that one piece. Because the other guy's hurt, I don't know. I just the analytics of it to me, which I hate, don't seem real good. I don't trust it. If you haven't run it in practice with that personnel, don't run it during a game.
You said something early on in the show, and I agreed at the time, and I still agree, and I'll completely agree. It's weird to me that Cedric Tillman had one pass thrown his way.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I have a fondness for Cedric Tillman because of what I think he can become.
I agree with you. Yes, I'm with you.
I think he can become a good NFL wide receiver. He had one pass thrown his way. David Njoku, I know, can do things when he gets the football in his hands. David had two targets.
Yes. What's going on?
I don't know. To me, those two guys are probably the guys who could do the most damage to the other team with the ball in their hands from a pass catcher position. And no disrespect to Jerry Jeudy on that. No disrespect to Harold Fannin. Harold's a rookie and he's coming along. We've seen Njoku make some really big plays for this team. And Tillman, I think, has some ability. I don't understand not getting them the ball.
Jerome Ford had more receptions than Njoku and Tillman combined.
He had the same number of targets as those two combined.
Yeah.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm shaking my head. Shaking my head.
Interesting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Andy, I'm going to change things up on you.
What are we going to do next, Jeff?
You're gonna
smile.
You're gonna smile.
Yeah, I know where you're going.
Hey, all you Ryan Day haters. It's Baskin and Phelps here on the Fan. Former NFL defensive back, former Ohio State Buckeye defensive back, and our partner on Browns Radio Network stuff. I'm Jeff Phelps. This is Andy Baskin.
Hey, as always, you can listen to this show and all of our local shows on the Fan, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, iHeartRadio. Tune-in apps, it's all there for you wherever you go. You want to take us with you, put us in your pocket, walk us around. We're all good with that. Again, we're always available to you.
The Ohio State Buckeyes, Andy, took care of business in Ann Arbor. Took care of business. Second half, they were in complete control of that game.
Complete control, Jeff.
It was fun to watch. They did a really nice job. And I appreciate Ryan Day as a college head coach even more.
He did to Michigan what Michigan does to Ohio State. That 11-minute drive in the third quarter put things away. Oh, it was sweet. There were a lot of tears during Mr. Brightside. Saw a lot of people not happy there. A lot of Michigan fans unhappy. Finally winning for the first time in too long. 2019 was the last time they won in Ann Arbor. OSU now 55-5 under Ryan Day in the Big Ten. 55-5.
Does this silence... critics who still remained out there despite the fact that he won the national championship last year?
This is what they needed. This was, I'm trying to put this in a clean way. This was the cleansing period that the people needed to recharge any...
You were thinking colonoscopy, weren't you?
Of course I was. Yeah, yes, I was.
You sure were.
Yes, I was. This was the... Yeah,
drink a gallon of this and don't leave the house.
Yeah, this was the full effect of get all of the Michigan waste material back into the...
Wow.
Back into Lake Erie. Yes. Yes. Yeah.
I just think the program that they've put together there, and you know the way I approach Ohio State.
I know.
I didn't go there. I prefer to see them win. I like watching Ohio State football. I think they have a really nice program. But this, to me, is the type of program that I always thought Ohio State could and should have. And they've had it at times. You know, under Jim Tressel, they had it at times. Under Urban Meyer, I think they had it. I think Ryan Day is taking it a step further. I mean, the talent that they get from around the country, especially, well, I shouldn't even say it, on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
They get plenty of defensive talent, too. But, I mean, just take a look at the wide receivers who are in the NFL from Ohio State, who were there under Ryan Day. I mean, they keep churning them out. Look at the running backs. You know, they got Quinshon. They had Travion Henderson. I mean, they're Dobbins. There are guys that... And, you know, going back to Urban, just keep churning out this offensive talent. And offensive talent gives you a chance to win most games. So does defense, definitely will. But if you have good offensive talent, man, you're tough to beat.
Oh,
well, and these guys are, they're tough, man.
I mean, are there little question marks? They're just irritants, I think, when it comes to Ohio State football. Like, I don't understand why you just don't Bo Jackson, like, I was, like, confused in the beginning of the season when they think about the fact they didn't play him against Texas. Like, what? I let it go, but I'll bring it up every once in a while. But they still,
like, now
get into these little trends where it's like, okay, it's the second quarter today. Bo, this will be your quarter. And Donaldson, you'll get the ball inside the five. And people's, I don't know if we're using you today or not. And
but, Andy, they have such talent that they want to play guys. And Bo Jackson's only a freshman. You don't want him to get the snot beat out of him as a freshman and be, you know, not be good to go health-wise, maybe.
Jeff, he does not look like a freshman, and he is not going to get the snot beat out of him.
Without question. Well, running backs get beat up. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are. Running backs get beat up. And so I don't mind him rotating backs. It's not like he's bringing in stiffs.
No, that's true. That's a good point. I think the bigger question, I think, for Ohio State fans are, will Tate and Jeremiah Smith play this week in the Big Ten championship game? Because it just feels like, and you know,
do they have to?
Yeah, it's the Big Ten championship game. They should play. They should play. Come on. I don't want to go through this game every week.
No, I get that.
Like, I don't know if they should play or not because, you know, are we playing for the Big Ten? Are we playing for the Big Ten championship? Are you playing for, to win a national championship, or are you playing for how much money you're going to make in the draft? That's the hard part. I think, you know, Ohio State fans look and they see great receivers, and sometimes they don't play at the end of the season, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and so you wonder, what's really the motivation. I think the guys want to play. I think, you know, Smith and Tate, those guys want to play. I just think they're hearing pressure, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, why don't you call Lloyd's of London and get more insurance for yourself and then go play? Go do that.
Well,
it's hard to be a fan when you're trying to juggle the business aspect of it versus the actual playing content. And it's true, that's the NFL.
The folks at Mississippi. I have absolutely no qualms about any player looking out for his future interests and not thinking raw team. Because in so many...
Raw team?
Raw. Way to go, team. Raw.
Team.
Team. Yeah.
Team.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what school it is, just team.
No, it doesn't matter what school it is.
No.
And I say that because it's so clear now that, you know, college football is such a big business. But let's... And you need to look out for yourself.
Right.
You know, I mean... I think Ryan Day is a terrific coach.
Yeah.
I mean, Ryan Day's trying to build a program and looking out for Ryan Day. That's the way coaching is set up. Ask the folks at Mississippi. They have a team that's going into the playoffs and Lane Kiffin ups and leaves. And you see it all the time. Coaches get fired and you get $50 million to walk away. So I don't have a problem with a player who's like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to make a lot of money next year and blah, 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 and start an NFL career. If I have to sit out, I have to sit out. Unfortunately, that's the system that college football has created, Andy. Don't you think?
Yeah, it's crazy. Although I've always thought that if you went to a school and your head coach left, that should free you from.
Yeah.
I thought that before they had, you know, transfer portal and all that
but
stuff.
But see, now with the playoff, and I like the playoff, I think it's a great idea, but you're going to play close to an NFL schedule. You know?
Sure. Somebody's asked me today.
All that does is.
Can you play 17 games? Absolutely, you can play a 17-game schedule.
Exposes you to more risk for injury, which could jeopardize your future earnings. So I get it. You know, like, Tate's going to go in the first round, whether he plays against Indiana or not.
Right.
Jeremiah Smith's going to go in the first round next year if he comes out, which, you know, depends on NIL money, I guess. So I get all that. All I know is this. Ohio State, clearly, Andy, I don't think there's even any question, has a head and shoulders better than anybody else program right now in college football. Do you think that's fair?
That defense is spectacular. I don't know how Matt Patricia's. Someone's coming after him. There's no way there isn't somebody coming after him for college football.
To be what?
To be a head coach in college football. How do you not?
You think so?
They didn't give up a touchdown to Michigan. They made them kick 3 field goals, and those first 6 points, it easily could have been 14-3, 14-0.
He's still mad that he got fired by the Lions.
Well, maybe he's taking it out on the whole state of Michigan.
The whole Michigan thing.
Yeah, because he doesn't give a damn about the whole state of Michigan.
That's what I'm wondering. College, you know, college coaches now, hey, you go out and you get Matt Patricia to come in and be your defensive coordinator. Well, that guy's got a great track record, despite what happened in Detroit. Was not good in his 1 year as an offensive coordinator in New England, but that's not his forte. And I wonder, is you know, you going to retain those guys? Are they going back to the NFL? I keep waiting for somebody in college coaching to say, no, you know what? I really like where I am and what I'm doing. I'm good. Like Lane Kiffin. Okay, and Lane Kiffin going to LSU. I get it. That's a great job. There's a lot of you know what that goes along with that job, because LSU, that's a serious hot spot. But really successful at Mississippi. They treat him like a king, and yeah, I'm going to leave now. I don't get it. I'm probably wrong on this. I just keep waiting for somebody to be that person who says. And when these opportunities pop up, nope, I'm good, thanks. You know?
Sadly, that guy just got fired.
Mark Stoops at Kentucky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Many a program had come after Mark Stoops to have him come in that was bigger than Kentucky, and he was like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. I'll stay at Kentucky.
And they get rid of him. And again, then they canned him. Thus the system that's been put in place.
Mm. Do you think Patricia gets an – I mean, that defense hasn't allowed a second-half point – since week 5.
No kidding.
The better question is, does he want to sit in a kid's living room with his parents and sell him a bill of goods? Because that's being the head coach of a college football team compared to being the defensive coordinator of a college football team.
That's true. I don't know.
If Matt Patricia wants to sit in a living room and sell a bill of goods about the future of a kid.
Although, you can be sure he's doing some recruiting anyway. I don't know the ins and outs of that.
It's a little easier to go, hey, here's the phone, tell this kid what he's going to do in your defense, than having to sit there and go, we're really, really interested in making sure that your child is set up for the future, and we're going to put him in positions that best serve him and the community itself.
7.6 points per game. That's what Ohio State's defense has given up all season long.
Better than the Browns, Andy.
They make call.
They give up, well, never mind, I'm not going to pick on the Browns. This is an Ohio State feel-good segment. So
yeah, they may call. I just don't know if Matt Patricia wants to be the one sitting there selling it.
He looks so much happier in Columbus. He looked happy after they beat Texas. Like he didn't look anything like he ever did when he was in New England or when he was in Detroit.
And see, that's
he looked excited to be there, excited about the game, and loving every second.
And that's what I wonder. Does a guy like that say, you know what? I'm loving this. I'm good. Because he's making a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good.
He's got 3 first-round picks on that defense, too, that are going to go
And
top.
Guess what?
The first, and, they'll, and if he and stays go get there, 3 more.
And they will go out and get 3 yep, more.
No, no, Caleb Downs don't grow on trees.
Yeah, I know, but they'll find the next
telling
one.
You, go back and look at Ohio State's defensive history. They're going to find guys just like that. Yep. Not just like them. But
I was going to say, Caleb Downs does not grow on trees.
They'll find other guys who can come in and do the job. I hope he's one of those guys. You know, I love it here. I'm sticking around. Tyvis Powell played at Ohio State.
He did.
We'll get his thoughts on that before we get his thoughts on the Browns.
Ah.
But we will talk Browns with him. And he's coming up next right here on Baskin and Phelps.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.